Let's go, Taylor. Where are you watching the games at, Taylor?
Yeah.
Where are you watching the games at? You at home?
What's that?
Where are you watching the games at?
I'll be at home, yeah.
Are you doing anything, Em? Going to a bar, anything?
I'll probably watch it with my friends. Okay, last week when my during the games, I watched it on our TV downstairs in the living room, and then my roommates who don't watch sports were all, you know, they sat and watched it with me, and then they would ask me things, and I was trying to be like telling them how to watch football, but I was like, guys,
are they talking during the game and like distracting you, or you were fine with it?
No, I like having people talk during the game. I like having, you know, things in there and stuff. It's not distracting, especially if the Rams or the Steelers aren't in it. I don't really care.
Yeah, my girl, she just not watch any sports at all. And it was more the college games that we were watching. She got really into it. This is the weekend where it was the good games. TCU, Michigan, Georgia, this. NFL, yeah, she's just like roaming around doing her thing. But by the way, I'm all good with. I like just watching the game.
Do you like watching it by yourself?
Yeah, I don't mind at all.
Yeah. Do you like it? Not minding and liking it
are different. Yeah, I like it.
You do like it.
I watch sports-wise, Lakers don't have a game, something like that. I'll have sports on. And that's kind of actually common. I watch a lot of games just chilling by myself.
Yeah, I don't mind watching a baseball game by myself. Football games, I need to be amongst folks. Doesn't have to be a lot, but just like even if it's just Michael or Bobby, or I need somebody else in the room to say, did you see that, too?
Mm-hmm.
I just need a little bit of that. Otherwise, I end up talking to myself.
Rookie, did you see that, bro?
I got some tweets about bad breakups. So this one says, worst way to break up, working at a summer camp, had different days off, and didn't have access to the internet. A friend updated his relationship status on Facebook to single, and another counselor came back and asked the girl he was dating, did you guys break up? That's a bad way to go. So essentially, he wasn't even consulted on the breakup.
I don't know modern breakups. I don't know.
Like, I tweet people.
It seems like a lot of things. You have to keep your eye on so many different things, like relationship statuses online. It's just like, just tell me you're done and I'll move along. I don't need to check Facebook to find out if we're still together or not. That seems like a lot.
Hey, babe, why are the photos... Did you take the photos down?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, people on Instagram will, like, scrub their Instagram of any pictures with their person. It's just, that's a lot.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of work. I don't really, not feeling
there's
that.
There's a faster way of doing it.
JC, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
How's it going, guys? You guys just did a segment talking about supporting your kids if they make a decision on a career path and stuff like that. I'm all down for that. I support my kids no matter what. But Travis said something that made me laugh. He said, if you've got a dead-end job and you're going nowhere, you're going to have to start doing something about doing, making a career change, and whether or not they're paying their bills at the house or whatever like that. I have a rule in my house. You're allowed to stay at my house forever, rent-free, but the minute you move out, you're done. You can't come back.
I like that. Can you write up some sort of contract or document and send it my way, JC? I'm going to pin it to all three of their walls.
It worked out pretty good because my girls all took off. They're gone and on their own, but I think my son's going to be here forever.
I know. I understand. It's nice. It's nice to have somebody to watch football with, JC. You can be like me. You have somebody sit there in the chair next to you. You have somebody to talk to.
Yeah, the bad part is he's a Cowboy fan.
Oh, that's bad. I mean, you might keep. Yes, maybe you need to move him out. Maybe you need to show him the door. Go on. Don't. You either could become. Are you a Rams fan, JC?
Yeah, that's the only time I charge him rent is during football season. If he says anything about the Cowboys, that's money for rent.
That sounds about right. Thanks, JC, and start stuffing those envelopes. I know you just got through with another round, but it's going to be here before you know it. Thanks, my friend. It is a Bud Light Football Friday on 710 ESPN. Getting you pumped for what's on tap for the NFL Divisional Playoff Weekend. It's presented by Bud Light. Make Bud Light your game day beer. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Must be 21 or older. Please enjoy responsibly. So Tom Telesco, the general manager of the Chargers, who's put together a pretty nice team.
Yeah.
Like, he's put together, they've drafted some good players.
They had a really good offseason last year.
Good offseason last year. They got Everett. They got Sebastian Joseph Day. They've got Khalil Mack. They've drafted really well. You get Herbert. You get Derwin James. They've done a good job. He was asked whether or not they considered Brandon Staley's job status prior to the decision to bring him back. And he said, no, that's more of a media talking point than something that we took seriously. That, if I'm a Charger fan, which I'm not, that would bother me a great deal. that I'm not saying you have to fire him. I do think, while I disagree, there's an argument to be made for why he should come back. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. But if you're not at least having that conversation in the building somewhere after the last 2 years you've had, now you're not doing your job.
I heard the comments. I see the quotes. Do you believe them? Do you believe them? Because Trav, you know this, right? They're going to – Mike gets in front of them.
Sure.
They're going to do
sure.
things a little bit different. Behind closed doors, do you want me to believe that Tom Telesco, after a 27-point breakdown in a playoff game, nationally televised, alone by yourself on a Saturday night, one of the biggest collapses in NFL history, I think the third largest collapse, you can call it, coming off a year where everyone was already talking about Brandon Staley and some of his decisions, being in the same year where you're questioning a week ago, you were playing your guys why?
Right.
And one of your main players did not get a chance to be a part of your playoff game because you played him against the Broncos.
Right.
Add all these things together. You're going to tell me that Tom Telesco, in his mind, let's say he was Dean Spanos, which he's not, and money was not an option, mm-hmm. and I'm going to do everything I can to win. Do you believe him that that never came up in his own mind? I do not.
In his own mind, probably not. But I do believe the possibility that he knew that, look, we're not going to make a change, so why are we even going to kick this around?
That part I agree with.
Yeah.
That part. But if you said, and again, he's not in this position, but if you said, Tom, hypothetically, Dean says, this is your call, your decision. If you want Sean Payton, we're going to go get Sean Payton.
Yeah.
If you think, no, I'm okay, I'm comfortable with Staley here, then we're going to keep Staley. I hear what Telesco said. I don't believe what Telesco said.
Fair enough. But I do think there's a way to answer that question that's not, you know, he's on his last strike, but also answers it more honestly than
that. How would you do it?
It's, look, we had a very disappointing season last year. This season ended way prematurely. We blew a huge lead. We're going to talk about every single thing in our organization constantly. We're constantly evaluating where we are all the time. This season ended in heartbreak, and we're all struggling with what it is. He's going to come back for another year. We like him as our head coach, but we are constantly evaluating everybody in our organization. That is a – we're not firing him.
That's because, it, but that's also – as PC as that was,
yeah.
It was also
you're
aggressive.
You're on the clock.
Yeah, it was aggressive. Yeah.
It's very polite and mm-hmm. measured. It's also – you are on
you
the clock.
You missed the first kick, you're done.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's the GM equivalent if you get one more kick. Yeah. I don't know, man. Because you look at the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati is good.
They're not going anywhere.
Looks like they're going to be good for a while. Same thing with Buffalo.
Yep.
And then you look at a team like Baltimore and Kansas City. They've been good for 5 years. They've got Patrick Mahomes, who's still on the right side of 30. He's going to be good for another 10 years.
There'll be some teams that just appear in the AFC like there is every year.
If Lamar Jackson re-signs with Baltimore, they're mm-hmm. going to be good every year. Mm-hmm. You know the Steelers are good every year. How do you punch your way into that group? You have – this is your best opportunity. These last couple of seasons, your best
yep.
opportunity. Justin Herbert is still inexpensive. You haven't had to pay him yet. This is what the Seahawks did when they went to the Super Bowl. This is what we've seen other teams do. You build up really quickly around a good young quarterback because once you got to pay him, everything changes. Well, they're getting close to having to pay him, and they haven't even punched into that group yet. This is the time to try to give him everything that he needs, and I don't know. They just seem like every chance they have to put themselves in a category of real teams, they miss the boat.
So something to keep in mind as well, and if you were not keeping this in mind, the Chargers had a really – their schedule was very beneficial compared to the Rams or some of these other teams. Next season they will have Buffalo on their schedule. Okay, forget the division for a quick second. Okay.
Or do they play the AFC East?
They'll play the AFC East. So
okay.
They'll get Buffalo. Miami will be a part of the mix. They'll have Baltimore in a game. They'll have the Cowboys in a game. They'll have the Packers in a game. So you're going to –
it's a little
everything
different.
Averages out. Minnesota's on the schedule, so there's going to be some tougher games.
He's got one kick left. They cannot do what they did this year. And I wouldn't even be surprised, Al. You don't see it a ton in the NFL, but you see it enough
mm-hmm.
that if they get off to a weird start, that they do something, right? That it's just, we're too good. We can't get off to a start like this. We have to do something because of all the things we just talked about, the schedule's going to get tougher. We've got a bunch of really good teams in our half of the draw.
Yeah.
We cannot allow another year to come off of Justin Herbert before we have to pay him. Because once you pay him, that means maybe you don't get a Khalil Mack. Maybe you can't re-sign a Bosa or whatever it is. If I'm taking, instead of spending
100%.
6% of my 100%. Money, I'm spending 25% of my money. It's like, okay, that's a lot of money I can't spend other places. That's what the Rams are running into.
In a way, what they're doing, too, is you're basically saying you're all in on Staley. You are. Because a year from now, everything's going to change. A year from now, okay, Sean Payton probably has an opportunity somewhere else. Put him to the side. Are you making a lateral move with your coach? Dean has already shown. Dean has already shown that money is a factor.
Sure,
you know, we see some of these other owners, whatever. But money is no object. It's no problem.
It's a big object
for him. It's
it's a boulder in the middle of his office. It's an object.
You ever go to like CVS? You got to put your phone number in.
Yeah,
and you just save a little bit. Dean's taking that old receipt. He wants that $5 off the six pages of a receipt. He's taking it home.
867-5309. Just put in an area code. 867-5309. It works every single time. It's never not worked. Pick your area code of choice. 867-5309. That way they'll never know how to get you, Slee. They'll never know how to get
you. But also, so we see from this weekend that it's going to be the Chiefs, Bengals, Bills are still here. And the drop-off in the AFC, everything else, everyone's trying to compete to get into that group of these people that are competing for championships in the AFC. So, like, the Chargers need to do something to knock into there because they have the talent.
Yes, they need to not have a coach that actively prevents them from advancing in the playoffs.
That would help.
Because you're right, Emily. There are two things in the NFL that have to be right for you to have any meaningful chance to make noise. Got to have a good quarterback. You got to have a coach that doesn't bleep it up. They've got one of the two.
So can I let's just use what you just said, Em. Nobody's saying they need more talent.
No.
Nobody's saying they don't have a quarterback. Nobody's saying they don't have Austin Eckler in the backfield. Nobody's really looking at them and saying, you know, guys, this is the furthest they can go. No, what they're saying is your coach is hindering you from moving forward.
When they lost that game, just like when they lost the game to the Raiders last year, no one was saying they just don't have enough good players. Not one person said that. Not at the end of that Jacksonville game, there wasn't one. Hey, listen, man, they're a little shorthanded. And that's the biggest indictment of a coach.
So watch this past playoff weekend. You could say Miami hung with Buffalo. Well, that was a surprise shock, and you could say, well, this is what they're missing. Baltimore, I know they ended up losing, but was a game against Cincinnati for most of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you would also say, yeah, but look who they had in as quarterback. You can make stories with some of these. The Chargers were the ones, like, I don't know what to tell you. They blew it. They choked that lead.
That guy right over there. Mm-hmm. It's obvious. They just don't seem to give a damn.
Do you see where your Dodgers are ranked in the power rankings?
I did. I like it.
Yeah?
I genuinely, truly do, because I think that's about right, and I think it's a different look. We'll do it next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I think every kid in America, this song came out, Taylor, I don't know if you have it in front of you, probably 84, 5, something like that, 83 maybe.
October 7th.
You would call it all the time. Like, you just pick up the phone and dial it and see what happened. It never, ever went through, but every kid in America, I'm sure, awesome. Tried it.
81.
There you go. And now it works on every pin cushion or pin pad. Hey, you want the discount? You got your phone number in there? Sure. 949-867-5309. Undefeated.
That's awesome.
it's kind of good, is, right?
It's a very clever thing
What's
to do.
What's the only number we all know other than
Cars for Kids.
I know. It's not bad. It's not bad. I'm trying to think. How many phones? Do you know Lady Sleeve's number, or is it just a button on your phone?
I remember you and I chatted about this. I know all the numbers I used to call before we were storing our numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
right.
So if I call my grandparents, if I call my mom's house, if I call, you know, randomly aunts and uncles that we just used to call, right, as a kid, I remember all those numbers.
I'm down to one. I know Susan's number, and that's it.
That's all you need.
I know that because she's had the same number for 25 years, and I don't know. The rest of it is a loss. NASCAR Eddie writes, Trav, I have a question for you. When was the last time a GM of a team gave you an answer you liked? Him saying, we'll reevaluate the whole team is BS, and you just want him to lie to you. No, there's lies, and then there's lies that make the person telling them look stupid. I'm okay with them lying to me, but don't tell me a lie that makes you look like you don't know what you're doing. Saying, well, no, we never considered it. That makes you look bad.
But if you know, you said, somebody can make a case to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
And you can. Like, I'm not, you can make an argument that, do you want Justin Herbert to have a third different coach in 4 years? You can make an argument saying, they did make the playoffs. Yes. Did they fall and collapse on their face? They did, but they moved one step further. I just genuinely do not believe his comments. That's all. And that's,
so you just think it's just a straight, I'm just saying this to end the question and move on to the next one.
I think it's a good answer of saying that's a media story that people run with. That's not a story that we had internally.
But doesn't it make you look like you're unaware of what your problems are? Because I'm okay with deflecting it, but deflect it in a way that acknowledges, hey, look, I know we got a problem over here. We're not going to change it. I'm aware that this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
But for reasons, my owner won't spend any money.
Yeah.
I can't move him out, but I'm fully aware that this is an issue. I'm not saying, well, yeah, you know, it was 6-5 in the room.
So
he got through by a vote. You don't say that.
The way you presented it, like I said, it was, you were not trying to be aggressive, but you were kind of aggressive.
Yeah.
I'd be just more surprised if he said what you said, because you are right in the sense of, I'm also sending a message to this head coach indirectly, even though I probably already told him behind the scenes, but it's also kind of good to have that out in the open of, this is it, brother. And all those players should know that this is it for you, that this is your last opportunity to fix it.
And like John said, for who are you trying to appease fan-wise? And it's a good answer, and it's something to keep in mind. They do have fans. Now, maybe they don't have fans like the Philadelphia Eagles do, but they have fans like the Rams do. They have fans like some other team that are out there that care, that would like to know that somebody is aware of the problem in the building. It was a weird answer. Power rankings in Major League Baseball, Slee. Astros, sure, defending World Series champions. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
The Braves, a little bit surprised that they're at number two
along the way.
The Yankees, of course, you know, they went out and got some guys, and they're always in the mix. The Mets have spent more money than everyone could ever imagine. The Padres are spent, what, five fewer dollars than the Mets seemingly this offseason.
Yep.
They made some big, big moves. They were really good last year. And then there they are, the Dodgers at number six in ESPN's major. And you know what? I dig it. I think this is a very new spot for them. I think it's a different kind of, if this holds, and you come into the season, and it's, look, you don't have as good a team as you did last year. They don't. But you're still a pretty good team. We still think you're going to win a bunch of games. Let's just go out there and see what happens. The Padres have never had to play with pressure. This is a brand new thing. The Mets haven't had to play with pressure in a very long time. This is a new thing. The Astros, they're used to it. The Braves and Yankees, they're used to it. But I don't mind the Dodgers kind of being one of the teams as opposed to the team.
So, a couple things here. Astros win a World Series, so nobody's, okay, leave them alone. Now they did lose Verlander, right? So, and even though it looks like they got, at least from what they got pitching, they got youngsters,
they're really doing
their thing.
They're really good.
Leave them alone. The Braves, you said you're surprised too. They lost Swanson, right? Swanson goes to the Cubs. I'm surprised too, by the way. I'm surprised that out of all the teams in the NL right now that are stacked, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Padres, what the Phillies did, I'm surprised Phillies weren't in the mix here.
They pitch. That's why they're as high as they are.
Okay. I mentioned this to you, and the Padres are going to be interesting. The Bogarts deal, a lot of people are going to say, what are you talking about? 11 years, this and that.
Yeah.
But we don't have to talk about what Bogaerts is going to be in 6, 7, 8, 10 years.
True.
We can say Bogaerts, a two-time World Series winner, a guy that's really, really liked in the clubhouse.
A really good player.
A really good player. Yeah. He fills in shortstop, so now you kind of play around with the other stuff. I don't know what Tatis is going to be, but I could tell you 20 games into the season, he's a Padre again, so he's going to be back in there.
He's a good player, too.
That's an interesting you know, lineup. I mentioned this when the dust was starting to settle on a lot of the free agents. They went other places, and they didn't go to the Dodgers. And I said that this, to me, is a more interesting predicament than last season. It's not a better team. It's just more interesting. The Dodgers won 111 games, and when we were in July, you would have the game on in the background, and you say, "Oh, you want me to do this? I mean, you know, I know they're going to win. They're going to do this. Let's just, what happens in October? What happens in October?" Now the regular season is a little bit more interesting. Now they might be fighting for that NL West, right? That it's not a hands, it's not a guarantee when the season starts that the Dodgers are going to take it over.
Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of like it.
And that's my point. My point is that I think it adds some intrigue. And if you say, well,
I don't even think it, for me at least, it's not the intrigue. It's the lack of, all right, show me. It's, you're in the mix. I think there's almost been this change of, we have to win the World Series because we're so much better than everybody else. We won 111 games. We're the year they won the World Series, they were 43-17 in 60. That's actually
pace.
Better than they were last year, where they won 111. And they ended up winning the whole thing. And it's like, okay, go do it again. Now it's, you know, maybe this isn't a great mix. Maybe they are a little, there's just a little bit less pressure to just kind of, hey, nobody cares if they win the division.
Mm-hmm.
Just get in.
Mm-hmm.
Get in and see what happens. And just, there are still expectations, very high expectations, but I think just a little bit of a tone, not just because theirs is a little different, but because everybody else's is a little different too. I don't know if the Padres are going to play well with that sort of expectation.
Sure.
I don't know. They might. They got a really good team. But if all of a sudden everybody's got a little bit of a pucker factor because it's like, oh, you're supposed to hang with the Dodgers. You're supposed to compete for the division. Just getting out of the first round is not what you're supposed to do. It's a different thing for them, and I think that benefits LA too.
So it's the first time in how long that you're looking at the NL, and even if you're not saying the Dodgers are on top, you're saying there's other teams in the mix with the Dodgers.
For sure.
And the teams that I just laid out, whether it's the Phillies or whether it's the Braves or whether it's the Mets or whether it's the Padres, those are four really good teams. Right? Like, you can make an argument that the top five teams in Major League Baseball, four of them are in the NL. And then Yankees, if you want to say, no, Yankees got to be in that top five, fine. Then three out of five, whatever the case is. That's fascinating. That I think will make it interesting. And the other part of it is, too, is the roles are sort of defined, but you're not 100% sure yet on that shortstop position. Now guys that they had the luxury of, hey, I'm performing, but I also know I got Trey Turner, I got Mookie Betts, I got Freddie Freeman. No, there's going to be a little more pressure on Muncy. Muncy delivered. There's going to be a little more pressure on Will Smith, who I know has delivered. Gavin Lux. It's interesting. It's an interesting storyline that I don't think we've had, where every time you the Dodgers start the season, they're just like a lock to win the NL.
I wonder if Dodger fans feel the same way that I do. And you want to weigh in on this, 877-710-ESPN. Last season was such a disappointment. It was so unfulfilling that they did what they did during the regular season and then were out as quickly as they were. It was just a bucket of cold water. It really was difficult to kind of move past. And then they did nothing this offseason. They have nibbled on the edges. You get a J.D. Martinez and a Syndergaard and stuff, but Turner is gone.
Yep.
Bellinger is gone. It's going to be a different team this year. They haven't spent a lot of money, and I have – really hopeful expectations for him. I don't know if it's just from because last year was such a bust that it's like you drop down so high that it coming up even a little bit feels pretty good, or whether being one of as opposed to the makes that big of a difference.
Well, I will say that I think it does. What you're hitting on, you don't know what the result's going to be, that they are going to.
How many games do you think they win?
Okay,
let me change it a little bit. Do they win 90?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
They win 95.
Do you know what I was going to say? I was going to say about 95.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
I think it's somewhere between 90 and 95, and that probably wins the division.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've got to get to 96, 7, 8, somewhere in there.
This is the year that you play each other less
in each.
So, I mean, it's kind of actually a big benefit to teams like the Padres, where you had to play the Dodgers 19 times, or Arizona or San Francisco. You'll play the Dodgers a little bit less as well.
Yeah, you don't get the Rockies as many times. You don't get Arizona as many times. So, and by the way, San Francisco kind of stinks again probably next year too. So it's kind of a two-horse race. Arizona a little bit better along the way. Lakers tonight, Ja Morant for the first time. Hottest team in basketball against a team that they just need a win regardless. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. I think I'm going to take in all four. I watched all six last week. I didn't think I was. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, wait, I just watched six football games in 3 days? That's a lot.
They were good enough where you were, you know,
it's really only one that wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. Well, two. This is the Monday night game. But by that point, you got to watch. You got to see if Marv's going to miss another kick.
And Monday night, it was, you know, you're right. But, you know, there was still the element of, well, can Brady make any type of run? It's the only game on. Yeah. So.
Mar might miss another kick. I'm not, once he missed the third one, it's like, oh my gosh. And then the fourth, it's like, okay, I'm going to start. They should have red zone for Brett Mar. Every time he goes out there to kick a field goal or kick a PAT, they cut to Brett Mar for the rest of his career until he makes like 200.
They should have had a camera.
You go to Brett Mar.
They should have had a camera follow him. I wanted to like follow him for the rest of the weekend or the rest of the week. I mean, just follow him.
I bet you more people were encouraging than negative. Like if he's
going
through the grocery store picking up a loaf of bread, I bet you more people went, hey, hang in there, buddy. You're going to be all right. Then, hey, well, you better not miss when you piece of you know what.
Can I give you this is the perfect scenario. Let me just use as an example because we talked about it earlier in the week, right? When Nate Kading missed those field goals for the Chargers, there was no other game.
Right.
That they actually lost because of him. The Cowboys, it's a lot easier to encourage your kicker when you're up three scores.
You're so right.
But if you lose the game and it was on your shoulders, on your back, no, nobody's at the grocery store saying, hey, let me pick you up some bread.
All right, so the let me get that loaf of Dave's killer bread for you.
Okay, my
That's the good stuff. You look like you need a friend. Let me pick up that loaf of bread for you.
My only conflict is going to be Sunday, Lakers.
When do the Lakers play? Is it a
6 p.m. Portland.
And that's Cowboys Niners too.
And that's pregame 4:30.
Yeah, that game's going to be, you're going to be right in the middle of that.
Michael's going to be like, you just keep talking.
Get the NFL ticket on your phone and you're going to have to stream it along the way. Lakers tonight against Ja and the Grizz. The Grizz are smoking hot, the Lakers are not. Trade deadline, we are 20 days away from the trade deadline.
Yep.
We talked about this yesterday. The timing of all of this couldn't be worse for the Lakers. Who's coming back when and what you're going to get and whether or not you're going to make a move and you're losing games and you're not picking up any ground, all of this stuff. And then Kendrick Perkins had kind of a weird theory as to why the Lakers really haven't done anything.
It almost feels like, in my opinion, that Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss is punishing LeBron James for the Russell Westbrook trade. Meaning, you played a huge part in getting Russell Westbrook here, and we know we have these two draft picks, and we're not going to trade them because you wanted him. You wanted him, Bron. So now you have to deal with it. You made your bet. You have to lay in it.
What do you make of that?
Extreme to me. That one sounds extreme. It's such a what do you base any of that off of?
Yeah.
So that's my problem. But let me play with what he just said, okay? If you're the NBA, if you're the Lakers front office and you're Rob Pelinka and you're Jeannie Buss, and if you're at a stage where you're saying, well, Bron, you wanted that trade to happen and we did it, and because it didn't work out, that's your problem and your fault, okay? If your front office is, I'm going to go back to when that trade happened. If Rob Pelinka was sitting in a room and saying, okay, guys, here's the deal. Washington wants to trade us Russell Westbrook, and it's Kyle Kuzma, and it's KCP, and it's some picks, and we're taking over the $47 million contract. I don't like the move, and let me tell you guys why I don't like the move.
Yeah.
And LeBron on the other side is saying, I like the move, and let me tell you why I like the move. Ultimately, Rob Pelinka in the front office, I would hope, would say, I want the feedback. You're the most important player on this franchise. I know how important you are. I have to make the final decision of what's in the best interest of this organization. So I lean on if I'm playing, which I don't think this is the case, if I'm playing what Kendrick Perkins is saying, then that would be a really bad look for the front office to say, well, we're not going to make a move because you wanted the other one. No, no, no. You, at the end of the day, make the final move because you are running the front office. So that's kind of how I look at that one, that that would be worse on the front office if we're playing out what he's saying, because that means they allowed other players to determine that trade or not.
I think, it just doesn't seem to make any sense on the surface of it. I'm going to sabotage my team out of spite? That seems like a bad plan. But those two things don't line up. You could make a case, and I go back to this frequently, that when Magic went on First Take with Stephen A. Smith and blew up Rob Pelinka.
Yeah.
Right?
Fresh, right after, whatever it was.
That the perception of Rob Pelinka is like, oh, okay, keep your eyes on. Let's just keep our eyes on what's going on over there. That maybe he is, for lack of a better word, an operator. That he's going to, well, okay, you think you're going to do this? Well, I'm going to do that. Jeannie Buss isn't that. If anything, if there's a criticism of Jeannie that I think is fair, is that she acquiesces to her star players maybe a little more than she probably should. Jeannie is so incredibly solicitous to her stars. The Laker organization is so solicitous of its stars. Like John banging on the desk, star-driven town, right? Mm-hmm. That they take such good care of their most important people that this idea that Jeannie Buss is going to be like, well, you blew it last time, so we're going to make you sit and deal with this terrible team, doesn't sound, just not in a million years does that sound like something that she would do. That's not her personality at all.
The only case, if I'm trying to, maybe Kendrick Perkins is saying, these are our last two assets left.
Mm-hmm.
It's that trade clearly did not go as planned. We could have picked other players. It's not holding, it's not trying to get back at any of these other players, but it could just be as simple as, Brian, I don't know what you want us to do, but those are our final assets.
Yeah.
And you go look at that market, whatever we trade those assets for, we're not getting what we need to go beat the Milwaukee Bucks or the Boston Celtics or
that's
the Memphis
just making
Grizzlies.
A decision.
Which is why I go back to the other one. Then that's more on the front office of allowing a trade that they wouldn't feel comfortable with. But again, it sounds extreme to me. It's a tough one to argue. I'm not buying into what Kendrick Perkins was saying.
Nor am I, but here's the other part I'll put in there. I don't think he just concocted this on his own. Somebody somewhere, hey, you know what I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's repeating it. That's what it, hey, I've heard that, bang, 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 that thing. Mm-hmm. Because there's no evidence that Jeannie Buss is a vindictive executive. There's evidence of the opposite, that she is overly solicitous to her very best players, and that's why they took care of Magic, they take care of Kobe, they take care of Bron. It's part of their brand.
Yeah.
The opposite is part of their brand. Not that, oh, well, you know, that Westbrook deal was a disaster, so, all right, you sit in it for a minute. No.
So
not a chance.
The only real, I think right now, just kind of, unless something changes by the time we get closer to February 9th, Lakers could make a move. It might be a small move. There's some
think
rumors
Russ is
right now.
He's here for the duration of the season.
To be
right?
honest with you, I think he's in it for he's in LA for the remainder of the season.
I agree.
I think so.
He's more valuable to the Lakers right now as an expiring contract than he is as whatever might be coming back the other way in a trade, no?
Yeah, and I just don't think there's blockbusters that are going to happen at this point. I just don't.
Who's
you know?
A blockbuster talent that's on the market? I don't think there's one out there.
I'll tell you, there's some teams that might sell off. Chicago might start selling their
Levine.
DeRozan, Levine, Vucevic, the other their center. And listen, by the time you get to February 9th, maybe there are more teams that look to sell. But I think if the Lakers do anything, I really do feel at this point it's going to be some small. There's been a rumor the last couple of days. Cam Reddish is a wing player for the Knicks, doesn't play that often. You might be able to get him for a second rounder. I think it's going to be like things like that.
That's fine.
It's not going to be a blockbuster.
That's fine. Like those little ancillary deals. Cam Reddish for a second round.
It's okay. Low risk.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the concept.
And probably fairly low reward too, right?
Yeah.
That's just one of those. Maybe we're a marginally
30%
better.
3-point shooter, yeah, but maybe he's just the size that you're looking for.
Let's try a quick one here. Let's go to Ontario and Peter. Peter, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
What's up, guys? Can I chime in a little on the Lakers there just before I get to my Dodger take?
Sure.
Okay. There's nothing out there for the Lakers. Davis is hurt too much as far as constantly to make any deal. If they had an assurance that Davis was going to come back and be 100% and basically be good for the rest of the season, they'd make a deal for sure. Otherwise, they put their franchise at risk because, again, Davis is a liability.
We were doing Peter, we were doing the math on this, and he's missed 45% of the season so far. That's where he is. So he's played in 25, he's missed 20, and that's not including whatever games coming up before he actually comes.
Absolutely. And could they make a little trade here and there? Yeah, but that's not going to put them where they need to be. So they're just riding out the season, hoping AD and I think and LeBron could take them into the playoffs and do something.
Seems like it.
And as far as the Dodgers, I think they took 2 to 3 steps backwards. There's 3 to 4 teams that are more talented. Now, I get it. Talent doesn't win you championships, or else we would have won the last 3 or 4 titles for sure. But as far as I think they took 2 to 3 steps backwards, and they don't have a shortstop. Please tell me, Travis, who's playing shortstop? Who's playing center field?
Yeah.
Who's playing third base? Anyhow, that's my take, guys.
Thanks. Yeah, Peter, I think that I agree with you. I just don't go as far as you do. You're saying they've taken, you know, 3 or 4 steps back. I don't think they have. I think they've taken 1 step back. I think that they are not as good as they were a year ago. They're not as deep as they were a year ago. Their pitching isn't maybe as good as it was a year ago. They're still better than almost everybody else, right? So they won 111 games. If they win 14 fewer games, you're still in the mid-90s. 14, that's a ton. That's 2 weeks where you don't win a game. Okay? That is a ton of baseball. As far as Gavin Lux is going to play shortstop. We'll see whether or not it works. It may not. Who's going to play center field? I don't know. Maybe it's Chris Taylor. Maybe it's Trace Thompson. They have options there. Third base, it looks like it's probably Muncy. You know, maybe he's at second. Maybe you kind of shuffle the deck a little bit around there. I agree with you that they're not as good as they were and that other teams have gotten better. But this isn't a perfect analysis, but like if we're running a race, right? The Dodgers had a full lap on everybody, and now they've got a quarter of a lap on everybody. They're still ahead, but they're just not as ahead by much. They've come back to the pack. The other pack has caught up to them a little bit, but it's not like they're bad all of a sudden. They have Freddie Freeman. They have Mookie Betts. They have Will Smith. They have Julio Urias. They have Clayton Kershaw. They have Max. This is not a rebuild. This is still a really good team.
Okay, so let's take last year, the overall record. If they lost 16 less games to get to 95,
yeah.
16 less games, they have a top 5 record in Major League Baseball, not NL, top 5,
fewer.
Top 5 in all of baseball. And I'm not here trying to make an argument that the Dodgers are set up perfectly for next year, but I think the conversation is also, think of all the different teams that have beat the Dodgers over the years. Do you have to win 111 games to win a World Series? You don't. Can you win a World Series winning 90 games in the regular season, less than that? Yes, you can. And the Dodgers have seen it. So I think if there's one argument that you can make, as dominant as the Dodgers have been, they also have not cashed in all these World Series, that even if they take a step back, and the true step back is Trey Turner, right? And then the other question is going to be, are there guys that come in the rotation as the season progresses?
Yes.
But even if they take a full step back like we're talking about, they're a top 5 team in Major League Baseball, and baseball continues to prove you don't have to have the best record to win a World Series.
Clayton Kershaw, Tony Gonsolin, Julio Urias, Dustin May. There's your 4 pitchers. You got to find a number 5, which they've proven they've been able to do over and over and over again. I think they'll find it. Maybe it's Syndergaard. Maybe it's somebody else. They'll find one. That's as good as pitching as anybody has in baseball. You've got a guy in Gonsolin who was in the Cy Young mix until he got hurt at the end. Julio Urias, one of the best in the business. Clayton Kershaw, don't need to say another word about him. And Dustin May will probably be fully healthy for the first time in a while. And he's got the best stuff in baseball, arguably. Let's go.
And it's fair to say, hey, I'm a little concerned about the Dodgers this upcoming year. That's fine. That's okay to say that because you're also accustomed to just there are 0 holes everywhere you look.
Yeah, concerned relative to what they were before, not concerned to the rest of Major League Baseball. The Dump, Supercross Talk, coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. stay with baseball here for a second. Mike Trout said that Teams USA goal is to win the World Baseball Classic, and anything short of winning is a failure. Quote, every game means something. Every game is big time, so you just got to be the last one standing. Yeah, I mean, sure. I don't know if that's because Mike Trout has never played in an important game or hasn't for the better part of 10 years, but I don't know if Team USA doesn't win the World Baseball Classic if you and I are in here looking at each other next week like, what the hell happened? How do we lose to the DR? Well, it's because they're awesome too. That's why. I don't know if
are
he
they
quite
so
gets this.
I'm kind of saying this blindly. So between Japan and Cuba and, you know, go through all these other countries, is USA by far the favorite?
No.
I would assume not,
no,
right?
They're of the favorites.
Okay.
Japan, DR, USA.
Korea usually
Korea's pretty, Venezuela's usually very, very good. And they're everybody's kind of good. That's the thing.
Go watch a baseball game.
Yes.
On any given night, you're like, wow, look how many different countries are represented.
If you had told me you got to pick a team right now, it's either the DR or US. Those are the two teams. But again, it's
you know what it's not?
The World Baseball Classic. It's
I know what you mean.
Eh.
You know what it's not? It's not the USA basketball. It's not where they walk in every year and it's like, yeah, they're supposed to win it all. It's not that.
And it's funny coming from him because, A, he doesn't really say a whole lot along the way. It's like, if you think this is a big deal, imagine what it's like being in game six of the American League Championship Series. Imagine what that feels like.
I wish I saw that quote starting the Angel year.
Yeah.
Put a little pressure on that organization.
Can I make a suggestion? Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath for him to say that. Ohtani comes out guns blazing.
Well, remember when he had his like first public criticism about the Angels?
Two years ago, right?
And one of the first things you said is, I've been watching Angels baseball. I've been watching the greatest player, Mike Trout, do it. Never seen a quote like that from him.
He's the greatest player I've ever seen with my own two eyes.
Yep.
And he just is kind of out there because his team's not good. And says nothing. He's been terrific, but the team he's around, USA, maybe we'll get to see Mike Trout hold up the World Baseball Classic trophy. Maybe that's what we'll get to see. When they induct him into the Hall of Fame, that's the video montage that they'll put at the very end. Instead of the confetti falling at the Big A, it'll be him in Miami or wherever the finals are holding up some whack trophy that nobody even knows what it is.
They got third place. Didn't even win it
right
all.
That's perfect. The AFC championship game, if it's between the Chiefs and the Bills, will be played in Atlanta. Tickets went on sale, over 50,000 tickets sold in 24 hours. I'm trying to think of the way to say this. Chiefs and Bills are playing at SoFi.
Yep.
Tickets $100 to get into the
game.
Are you going?
So I'm not kidding here. I kind of saw where we were going with this question. I'm 100% going.
Really?
Yeah, I think that'd be so cool. You know, and maybe it's different for me because I really don't have an affiliation right now with any of the teams, but to get a chance to see those two teams play.
Yeah.
And it's the stakes are that high and it's in your backyard.
Yeah.
That's unique. I think that's really cool.
It's
almost
cool.
Funny. It's almost funny. I'd rather go to that. Maybe not, but you know how we always talk about the Super Bowl is not a real game. The Super Bowl is corporate America. Yeah. It's incredibly expensive. It's
long.
A show. It's this. It's that. I'd rather if you said, hey, I got two tickets for you for the Super Bowl, or I have two tickets for you, just using as an example. Last year in KC, KC versus Buffalo, I want the KC-Buffalo game.
Emily, do you know of the 50,000 tickets that were sold, how many of them were sold to like Atlanta locals and how much were sold in Buffalo and KC?
They didn't give that information.
Yeah.
So maybe I can sleuth, but I don't have it right
now.
Yeah,
I'm curious if it's just like I don't think I'd go. I think it's just because I'm spoiled that I've seen so many of things like this. Like I'll watch it on TV and have my own.
But let's
beer.
Put it this way. Let's put it this way. Even if you don't go, you could see how that's an incredibly exciting event to go to.
That's one of those things that I get. I just don't know if I want to go see two teams to your point, don't care about.
Could neutral site conference championship games become the norm? Because this might be the NFL floating this out. If it happens to happen and it's successful, do we think we could see more in the future?
So here's my question.
There's a rub, though.
What's the advantage? Why a neutral site? Like, I get it. You know, you got 50-50. But why are you not rewarding the team in the AFC to win the AFC?
The advantage to the league is they get to control the entire operation. It's not up to the teams anymore. Right up until the Super Bowl, the Rams were in control of the NFC Championship game. It's their building. It's their house. They get to call the shots.
Yep.
They get to collect the money, right? If the NFL is in charge of those games, like the Super Bowl, the NFL scoops it all up, right? That's how it goes. But I agree with you. You're going to get – okay, now that I'm in – I only got to win one playoff game before we're playing in neutral sites anyway. I'm pulling guys off the field. And everybody but Brandon Staley, you'd have a month of where, hey, I've already locked my position in here. You're not going to see Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to see Cooper Kupp. I'm going to take these guys off the field because I got to go play in Atlanta or Indianapolis anyway.
Yeah.
What's the point?
It almost kind of takes away some of the whole purpose of that regular season, right?
Breaking Bad premiered on this day in 2008. This is one of my favorites. FX and HBO both passed on Breaking Bad before it got picked up by AMC. You know what other similar but the opposite? The Sopranos was on the street for a long time on network TV, like ABC, NBC, CBS all said, no, we can't do it. Or if you're going to do it, you got to kind of clean it up and it's got to be
censor
a little
it.
Different.
Oh, and but how disappointing would that be? That it ended up with one of those networks.
Well, totally different show.
It's not Sopranos.
But think of it as the actors are the same. The script, there's no profanity. There's not as much gratuitous sex and violence and stuff, but it's compelling performances, really well written. It would have been a smash.
So
imagine if Breaking Bad, though, was on HBO and they could do whatever they want.
I'm with you.
That would have been better.
That's why I'm saying with The Sopranos, I think there's certain places shows like that can live. Didn't it need HBO? I think it needed HBO.
That's where it would have been at its best, but I think it would have been good no matter where it went. One more. The opposite of all of this, Al. Dawson's Creek premiered on this day in 1998. So you have The Sopranos and Breaking Bad on one hand, and then you've got Dawson's Creek on the other.
And High School Musical.
And High School Musical, yes. That goes in the other category as
well. John, you fall in the category of Dawson's Creek or High School
Musical? Never got into Dawson's Creek, although I remember that was where Katie Holmes debuted, right?
It certainly was.
Yeah, and I always thought that, well, she seems like cute and nice, and then she married Tom Cruise, and I'm like, what the hell?
And then she spent a long time trying to extricate herself from that relationship.
Yeah, it seems like most people who marry Tom Cruise fall into that category.
Lasts about 10 years or so.
It burned, that's
isn't it exactly 10 years?
Exactly 10 years. I'm not saying.
And
not saying.
Weren't they all the same age when he divorced them?
The spark just goes away, John. Why are you trying to judge love?
Okay, just putting it out there.
Love doesn't have a calendar.
That's right. Well, in some cases.
Other cases, actually profound. Love does not have a calendar.
Except around 9 years and 6 months.
Exactly. And then it's like, look at your face.
Something happened.
I don't think so. A little super crosstalk.
Woo! 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 All right. So just before we started, Travis looks at me and says, what do you want to talk about? And I said, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? There is
my response was, I was hoping you were going to have something.
Yeah, exactly.
We had an Ask Slee today.
Okay.
That was, if Slee were like the Don King of 710, and he had to put together a card of bouts.
Yes.
Right? And we decided that you and Sedano would be the main event.
Yeah, sure.
Well, they wanted three fights.
Three fights.
Okay. Three-fight card.
You have already indicated on your Ask Mason that you wanted to go
Sedano. Like a bag of rocks, I believe, was the quote.
I consider Sedano to be a beloved friend of mine. So this is all joking.
Okay.
All joking.
Sure.
But yes, okay.
Sure.
Make the match.
The other one that we had was Jorge and Bergman.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think thought that would be
very hard to handicap.
That's why we did it.
Kind of like weight wise, we kind of looked at that.
Jorge used to do P90X.
Here's my thought on that.
Bergman rides a Peloton.
Bergman has a lot of pent-up rage.
He does.
He's told me that.
He may unload it all on Jorge in that scenario.
Yeah, that's right.
But Jorge, and Greg, I think you would agree, he might fight dirty.
I think Bergman would too.
No, but Greg will just go like full Aaron Pryor. If you guys remember Aaron Pryor, he used to the bell would ring and he would come into the middle and just start throwing fists like crazy. That's Greg. Jorge, I could see putting some type of illegal substance on his glove.
Bloodsport, right, Jean-Claude Van
Damme. Wrapping in barbed wire.
Right, and then Greg will go, well, wait a minute, what's that smell? And the next thing you know, Berkman's out on the canvas. Greg, is that a fair handicapping of what that might be?
Yeah, it is. I think it would actually be a really good fight. At the end of it, Jorge might win, but I think you're right. I do have a lot of pent-up rage.
Yes. Yeah, I would favor Berkman athletically. Like, if it's a fair fight.
You got to place a bet. I'm taking Jorge. Who you got, Slee?
I'll go Berg.
Yeah, I'll go Bergman.
I'll take Berg.
Is there any
no shenanigans?
Are there any rules?
No,
it's a boxing match.
And
nobody cheats.
Nobody cheats. Straight up boxing, three rounds, five rounds.
Well, if it's three, I'm taking Greg. If it's five, I'm taking Jorge. That's
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Because Greg's going to try and win it in the first round.
Jorge's going to rope a dope him
by the third round, Greg would probably have the look on his face of, what do I got to do to beat this
He's
guy?
Just a man. Yeah,
I think he can take a punch. That's the thing. I think Jorge would be able to take a punch.
I think you could too, but I think you would exhaust all your energy in the first, would, you know, whatever it is.
All the rage would come out in the first, and then it would be done after that.
Here's the third fight. This is another one that I think showdown handicap. Two professional athletes mm-hmm. that we work with, Kirk Morrison and DeMarco Farr.
Oh, wow.
It's a heavyweight fight
That is a big
Kirk
time
is a little
fight.
Bigger than DeMarco. So I'm going to give you my handicap. You guys tell me what you think. Kirk is a little bit bigger than DeMarco. Mm-hmm.
This is a linebacker against a defensive lineman.
Yes. He's probably slightly more athletic than DeMarco just by the nature of the position that he mm-hmm. plays. I think DeMarco has a far meaner streak in him than Kirk does. Yeah. I think DeMarco can go to a darker
place. You
think
DeMarco is such a lovable guy.
He's a very lovable guy.
Yeah, but you don't play defensive line in the NFL without having that mean streak.
It might come down to who's meaner.
And Mace?
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time with DeMarco, and there are times when he hears something on that football field that he just goes, and it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you ever talk to anybody who played football, they'll tell you that the really dirty stuff happens on the bottom of the pile at the defensive line. Now, yeah. Kirk's seen some of that, but DeMarco, like, every play.
When there's a fumble, the ball sitting there, what happens in that little scrum?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't DeMarco also, like, got more weight on him than Kirk?
I bet you it's close, honestly. Okay.
Does DeMarco have more height
than
Kirk?
No, Kirk's taller than DeMarco.
That is a coin flip.
Yeah.
Who's got a longer reach? Have we ever measured?
If it was a street fight, like...
I'm doing DeMarco in a street fight.
Well, I was thinking the opposite. Like Kirk is more, like you said, is more athletic, but in a ring,
he can't
run from DeMarco.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think DeMarco probably finds a way to win that, but Kirk played for the Raiders, so give me Kirk.
It's not a bad way. Who do you got?
We had three good fights there.
Yeah.
I
don't know who to take in that one.
I think I lean a little towards DeMarco. I think there's a little...
But they're such nice guys, they probably would not even agree to do it.
No. Yeah, Kirk is... both athletes.
I'd lean Kirk.
Kirk's a big dude.
After the softball game.
Yeah,
after
the softball game.
Well, here's the other thing. So, like, when they had the marquee race, I picked Key. Mm-hmm. I still think Key won. We've had long debates over this. But Marcellus took it seriously.
He trained for months.
Trained, yeah.
Months. Like, did everything you're supposed to do if you're on stage. Key had three margaritas, didn't stretch, and ran.
Yep.
And so, in that scenario, I think Kirk is the guy who would train and get ready, and DeMarco would just show up and say, all right, let's go.
That's pretty funny.
Well, that's the only way that was going to happen, is you have a wide receiver against a defensive lineman.
Right.
The only way you have a race is if the defensive lineman trains and the wide receivers slam
Marcellus
margaritas.
Still swears he won the race.
Well, here's the argument. Key's foot crosses the line first.
Yes.
Marcellus claims, and Marcellus ran track.
Right, if
he leaned his chest,
he would have gotten the tape.
And that he would have hit the tape. So I'd have to talk to a track coach. Clearly, Key's foot hits the line at the same time Marcellus is pushing his chest forward. So I thought once Key hit the line, race over. But others have told me, no.
It's the tape.
It's the chest. It's the tape. So that's the debate.
Well, Key still works for us. So I say Key won.
I'll go with that. I'll go with that. That sounds like a good answer. Best game of the weekend. Is it the Buffalo game or is it the San Francisco game?
San Francisco to Dallas. San Francisco Dallas. Great game.
Easy. You were quick on that.
Yeah, no. For me, I got a lot of mythical money on the Cowboys. I got money on the Cowboys winning the NFC. 14-1 odds.
That's
good odds.
You got to play your kicking scenario in all this.
Okay. But, John, do you think that that's the best? Because that Buffalo-Cincinnati game.
Oh, it's
that right. Feels like a that could go down to whoever gets the ball last.
It's close, but just because of the Brett Maher element, yeah. I would watch the. I mean, if this guy misses the first extra
that's
point,
what we were talking about.
What
today.
Do you do?
So okay,
Maher
first quarter
hissed.
Do first you quarter, do you activate the backup kicker you brought in this week?
You can't.
You can.
Is
you
he
would
on
have
the
to
active
deactivate
roster?
Someone else
wait, before
they,
the game starts.
Could they
right.
put him on the yes. active roster?
Yes, they can. Right. But
like, has anyone ever carried two kickers for a playoff game?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But let's say it's the first quarter. Dallas scores a touchdown. Okay, Maher trots out there, tries it
hooks
at PAT,
it left.
And just misses.
Yeah.
Just misses, whether it's by a football or by 10 feet. There's no way you
that's
let him kick another ball
that's
the
done.
Rest of the day, right? We're done here. He's missed six of his last seven.
But is
that
not why you carry activate
but
the backup
my point
kicker?
Is, my opinion, Mace, he shouldn't even be given an opportunity to kick the first
oh,
one.
Oh, really?
I would have moved on from him at the end
I'm
of this
I'm kind of surprised they didn't with the stakes
yes.
that high.
Yeah, exactly right.
All of his teammates have come out and said, no, he's our guy.
They're his yeah. teammates.
But he's our brother.
They have
that.
To.
Peyton Manning and Troy Aikman are not his teammates, and both of them in the moment are like, they got to move. They
well,
got
to
go find
somebody but think
else.
About the dynamic there. If somebody on, if someone, not the four of us, if somebody here at the station did something stupid and the public debate was, should they fire him or not? None of us are going to come out and say,
right.
fire him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Like, I don't want to work with him. Fire him because
right.
we don't. It's not up to us. You know, they. So all the teammates, ignore what the teammates are saying. They have to stand by him.
You can't carry two either because now you're down a backup lineman, a linebacker.
Right. Yeah, well, it's more yeah, important in this scenario.
Yeah, well, that's exactly.
I mean, you
it's
come
the debate
down to
between
the
carrying two and three quarterbacks. They carry three all the time.
42-yard field goal, end of the game. Do you
I'm
really
with Mason.
Want Maher
activate
on the
carry
spot?
Both guys?
Yeah,
it just I would, says, I wouldn't do that.
I would do that. But it's a fair
wait,
argument
wait
in this scenario.
So here's
it's
the,
a fair
here's
argument
the reason
in this
why.
Scenario.
You're asking okay. what's the difference, right? Yeah. Between because on an NFL team, other than the backup quarterback,
right?
Everybody plays. There is no – I'm just
right.
out here in case
so stay,
stuff
stay
goes
with
wrong.
Me here, all right? You have 11 position players on each side. That's yep. 22,
okay.
right? So then you have special teams players. You
yes.
have a punter, a kicker. I think most teams now have a long snapper specifically
yes.
out there for
that's
long snapping.
Does.
So that's 25,
okay?
So if you've got, what, 18 more spots? You have 43 or 45?
48 on game day.
43, right? Five are on the practice squad.
No, you have your practice squad is separate from your 54-man roster. On game days, I believe you can only dress 48 guys.
I don't think it's 48. I think it's either 43 or 45.
Okay, maybe it's down to 43 or 45.
But what I'm saying is, what's more important in this particular scenario? To have a backup for Brett Maher, and I think Mason argues all the reasons why. I think that's important. Or have three backup linebackers.
But they're not three backup linebackers, John. That's the point. Those second and third string linebackers are your first string special team guys.
Right.
So
right.
now all of a sudden you don't have one of those guys. The guy that's in there now runs the wrong way on a coverage. You bust a kick the other way because the guy doesn't know what the hell is he's doing. Everybody plays. There's not a guy that's got his warm-up suit on
yeah.
doing nothing. Every guy in a uniform other than the backup quarterback will step foot on that field. Now you're going to have a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I would
and a
rather have
kicker.
Insurance at kicker than insurance at special teams or linebackers.
I would
it says
never
active
in
inactive list remains at
yes.
53
no,
for
but
the
how many
regular
can you,
season and playoffs.
You
so I think that goes I think that's the 5 that you're talking
you,
about.
Well,
so 48.
If you have 48, you absolutely can have a backup kicker.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah,
but guys,
to.
wait.
Before,
you
this
got
game.
Your 11 positions.
Yeah.
Back them all up.
Yeah.
You're at 44.
Okay.
So you got a backup for every guy on the field. 44. Mm-hmm. You got your kicker. That's 45. You got your punter.
Yeah,
that's
John,
46.
You're saying
stay
that,
with me.
Yeah.
Stay with me.
No. Yeah.
All right. You've got your so 44 gives you a backup at every position.
Mm-hmm.
You have 22 starters, 22 backups. Then you have your kicker, 45. Your punter, 46. Your long snapper, 47.
Mm-hmm.
Backup kicker, 48.
But the guys that you're talking about, it's not just a starter and a backup. Every guy, first of all, other than the defense, not, everybody doesn't play every play. They're coming in and out the whole time.
They're rotating.
You've got guys that are coming in and out. They play. You're taking a guy that you use every single week for a guy that you may not have to use at all.
Right, but I have 22 of them. I have 22 backups. I can only play 11.
But you're making it sound like they only go in the game in the event that one of these guys comes out.
No.
They play.
No,
they
I'm saying it would
be like saying you have five starters in basketball.
But there are guys on the Rams that play special teams and play in the game.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but yes. I mean, you don't.
But nobody doesn't play. There's no Cole Swider on the team that you're just saying, whether it's this guy or that guy, we're not going to use him. They all get used.
I think there's a pretty good fight here between
Mace,
Travis Rodgers.
You tell me.
Fourth fight on the card.
Mace, you tell me you don't want that promo all weekend. Leading up to the 49ers and the Cowboys.
What we just did?
No, showing the kicker missing.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of them just saying, this is all you we've talked about with this matchup. Right. How funny is that?
Like, that is a great idea. Point. You know why it would never happen?
What?
They don't want to piss off Jerry Jones.
Hmm.
And if Jerry, if they run the league. Right. If they ran a promo,
he make the extra point coming up tonight?
Oh, yeah. If that sentence came out of somebody's mouth, Jerry Jones makes one phone call, and whoever says that is out.
No longer. By the way, if Marr does trick it off, right, and he's out there by himself, and he does blow it, that's not his fault. That's Mike McCarthy's fault. That's Jerry Jones's fault. That's everybody that
for
allowed
putting him in that
to
spot.
Go, to give him another chance to blow it.
Do you give
it,
him
right?
one kick? I have him there giving him one kick, and if he makes that kick, then I give him a second kick. Do you guys not even
what
give
do
him
you do
that
if
opportunity?
He misses it?
If he misses, I'm going for two now moving forward, and I'm also
who kicks off?
Well, he could probably kick off.
Yeah, kick
you. Yeah, he was able to not kick it out of bounds.
What if you have a 45-yard field goal and it's 4th
That's
and 12?
That's the issue.
So I still don't give him another chance after that first one. However, if you're towards the end of the game,
yeah.
And it's coming down to we're down two, and we're
you're on the 35-yard line,
and there's 2 seconds left. I'm giving him the final kick. I'm giving
Even
him the final
you
kick.
You've iced him for three hours.
Well, according to under the Travis Rodgers plan, you have to give him the final kick because you don't have anybody else who can kick it.
Or you can throw a Hail Mary.
How do you, Mace, not go for two moving forward if he misses this first?
Yeah, no,
extra
I get
point?
That part
like,
of it.
What
but
do you do?
You also are. I think you're just. Getting rid of him the rest of the game. Like, if you get him to a field goal spot after you pull him from an extra point.
I think if he misses a kick at any point in this game, he's done. Right? Moving. If they win, right? If they lose, it doesn't matter and you can go find a new guy at the
end
of
the year. But what do you do if you're in field goal range and you need a kick?
Mace, you're
That's why you carry the backup kicker.
Mace, you're at the 35.
So you're going to put a guy who's kicked all season to kick that kick?
Better than a guy who's got the yips.
Then why is he there in the first place? I'm okay with the backup kicker, but let him kick all game. Get rid of Marr. That's my whole point is, why is Marr there? Not the backup. I'm not giving him a backup position.
Right.
My whole point is, move on. I'm in the Troy Aikman. I'm in the Peyton Manning Cup. Like, why is he even being allowed to maybe blow it again?
Oh, if we can get one more opportunity to see him do this.
No, it's magic.
It's great TV.
It's
boy,
magic.
The whole country's going to be rooting
Could
for this
Could you imagine
guy.
If the game comes down to an extra point?
I'm already nervous.
Yeah.
What if they lose 24-23 and he missed the first one?
Oh,
and
God.
That bit. That's
can
it.
You imagine?
That's it. You lost by 1 point because you didn't pay attention to the fact that he'd missed five of his previous six. He didn't miss
it
one.
It is weird that he's surviving that.
He's missed five of his previous six. Like, let's run it back
yeah,
again.
Yeah, I wouldn't run out with him in the first place.
It's an insane proposition. Yeah. You want him to make it if he gets it, John? If he gets a chance to go out there?
Yeah, but I mean, it's better drama if he misses.
That's why I kind of want him to miss.
Yeah.
Mason and Ireland coming up next. Super Crosstalk. It's powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger's all about. We'll see you on Monday.